This evening we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Father James Cherian. James Dutchin is presently serving as the vicar of St. Gregorius Orthodox Church of Cleveland, as well as the assistant vicar of St. Thomas Orthodox Church in Detroit, and presently also serving as a youth minister for the Detroit region. This is the first time James Dutchin is joining us and has agreed to be with us this evening, and at this time I invite him to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Thank you, Bishop Dutchin, for your kind words. Let us bow our heads and submit ourselves in prayer. Mark Moore, grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, forever. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ, who gave us his cross as a banner of salvation and an ark of protection. I would like to thank Father Zachariah for inviting me over and giving me this chance to talk to all of you this evening. It is truly a blessing to be with all of you, and I say it's a blessing because the words of our Lord are made manifest in and through this communion of ours over the phone. When Christ says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. I'm sure that that very presence of Christ, our Lord, will lead us through this evening as we spend a few moments lifting up our hearts and minds to his wisdom. Talking about the wisdom of God, or Sophia, the world and those of us who have tuned our lives to the rhythm of this world, this wisdom of God is not going to make a lot of sense to us. Rather, it would sound more like foolishness to our ears, our minds, and our hearts. And this is the reason why St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 23, if you have your Bible, you can open it to this verse, the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, first epistle, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. So those of us who have tuned ourselves to the rhythm of this world, the vanity of this world, we would have a similar experience, where the cross is a stumbling block and foolishness to us. As we have just celebrated the feast of the finding of the cross of our Lord on the 14th of September, I feel it would be apt to spend a few moments this evening contemplating on the message that one could draw in a close encounter with Christ and his cross. What is the message of the cross for all of us who live our lives in such a busy manner? I would like to meditate with you two thoughts presented to us by the cross of our Lord. The first message of the cross is that the true beauty of life is found in the pursuit of joy rather than in the pursuit of happiness. May I repeat that one more time? The true beauty of life, the true meaning of life, is found in the pursuit of joy rather than in the pursuit of happiness. What is this difference between joy and happiness? St. Paul talks about this when he says, rejoice at all times, when he writes to the Philippians. Look at the use of words. He did not say, be happy at all times. He did not say, be happy in all situations. Because he knows it is not humanly possible to be happy at all times and in all situations. A prayerful glance onto the cross does not bring happiness to us. But on the contrast, it fills us, it fills our hearts and minds with a divine joy. Happiness is worldly. It belongs to this earth. You eat a cheeseburger from your favorite place, you're happy. You have the perfect coffee in the morning, you're happy. You get a good grade in your exams or tests, you're happy. You clear an interview, you get through school, you're happy. The problem with these situations are that they're very temporary. and they can vary in a very drastic manner. Meaning, you lose your happiness when you realize that those cheeseburgers gave you some bad cholesterol. You lose your happiness when that perfect cup of coffee spilled all over your shirt. And of course, you lose your happiness when those grades don't come up too well. Joy, on the other hand, is stable. It is stable because it is founded on our life in Jesus Christ. People who have their foundations upon Christ are not swayed by the passing emotions of our hearts. Those of us who have Christ in us, or who have founded our lives on Christ, are never happy or sorrowful beyond a certain limit, no matter what the reasons or situations are. Happiness is like the waves of the ocean, and joy is the state of the ocean in its depth. You know, Christ could have opted probably a better plan for our salvation, a plan without the cross and the pain and the shame and the crown of thorns. But he defined, or rather redefined, the true meaning of love and beauty in and through his cross. He chose the joy of being the true good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He took up agony rather than the happiness found in the comfort of no cross and no pain at all. Saint Seraphim of Sarov, a great Russian saint, this is what he says about this subject matter. He says, if a man has no worries about himself at all for the sake of love towards God and the working of good deeds, knowing that God is taking care of him, this is a true and wise hope. But if a man takes care of his own business and turns to God in prayer only when misfortune comes upon him, which are beyond his power, and then he begins to hope in God, such a hope is vain and false. True hope therefore seeks only the kingdom of God, and it is there in the cross that we truly find the kingdom of God. It is there that we truly find the true meaning and beauty of our lives. The heart can have no peace until it obtains such an hope in Christ. And this hope pacifies the heart and produces joy within it. This is what St. Seraphim of Sarov talks about, the true beauty and meaning of life found in the cross and in our hope in God, rather than fleeting earthly ambitions and goals and happiness. This leads us to the second thought that I would like to share with you this evening. The cross shows us the essentiality of suffering for the formation of true character. May I repeat that one more time? The cross shows us the essentiality of suffering for the formation of true character. When you really work hard towards achieving something worthwhile in life, you will come to the realization that all that is worthwhile in life can be achieved only through some sort of a suffering. Only when you endure through some sort of a suffering, that could be hard work, that could be a lot of hours that you put in, name it. It is some sort of a suffering that leads you to something worthwhile in life. This is why the cross shows us the essentiality of suffering for the solid formation of our personality and character. Now, don't misunderstand me. We, the Orthodox, understand suffering in a very different manner. Now, that doesn't mean we are pessimists or we have a very sad attitude towards life. No, we take reality as it is, as Christ teaches us. The cross of Christ did not belittle the divinity of Christ at all. On the other hand, the suffering in his person made it manifest to the whole world that which is truly divine. To seek a life of earthly comfort and luxury is not Christian at all. A lot of us fall down so miserably in our spiritual lives because we give more priority to things and people around us that do not help us in achieving true character. True character meaning the character of Christ our Lord. You know, darkness comes in many shapes, sizes, and forms. It sometimes comes even in the form of the angel of light. Darkness has now become a popular trend of the world that we live in. You will see this if you look around yourself. You will see this in the news. You will hear it on the radio. You will see it in the newspapers. Look around. Darkness has become a popular trend in the world that we live in. Since unholiness and ungodliness are so popular, remaining holy and pure has become outdated. Those who choose the path of holiness and godliness stand the risk of loneliness. Saying no to sin may result in you losing your so-called friends. Saying no to the darkness around you may make you seem stupid and dumb, thus leading you to your own chalice of pain and bitterness. Not just saying no to the world. There are other crosses as well. The cross of pain, the cross of suffering, the cross of sickness, broken families, broken hearts, our addictions, our passions, all these could result in unbearable suffering in our life. I'm pretty sure most of us at some point of our life might have gone through situations where the pain you experienced was so intense that your desire to live was exceeded by your desire to die. And if you've gone through it, congratulations, God in his unique way has forged in you the spiritual toughness and fortitude that is necessary to succeed in achieving true character, the character of Christ himself. May I end my words with the quote of Saint Isaac the Syrian, who says, "Humility and suffering free a man from all sin." Humility and suffering free a man from all sin. For humility cuts out the spiritual passions, and suffering shatter bodily passions. May the cross of Christ enable each and every one of us to pursue the true meaning and beauty of our lives. And when troubles come our way, may we be able to drink the chalice of bitterness and failure with spiritual dignity and surrendered hearts filled with true worship. All glory and honor be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever, unto ages of ages. Amen. Unto Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words unto us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and unto his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.